I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time and forevermore. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or nakedness, or famine, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Once in Christ forever. Nothing from his love my soul shall sever. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Wow, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful day this is. You've come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard the great music from the quartet, from the trio, from the choir. You even did quite well yourselves. You know, it's a good thing to sing praises unto the Lord. Read through the book of Psalms, you'll find all the praises there. Do you good to read through that too. And by the way, I have 3 volumes on the Psalms. This is a commercial, Pastor, if it's all right. I'm not charging. I'm going to collect from this, I hope. But anyway, 3 volumes on the Psalms, and I believe if you'd get them, they'd be a blessing to you. They're in the bookstore. I want to say this. It's a joy to have all of you here today. The 2 charter members, isn't that wonderful? 64 years. Now, they were just babies they were just young when they joined, I can assure you. But it's good to see visitors and members alike on a special day. And you know, we're having our, what we call on the ground dinner. It's not really on the ground, folks. Don't get disturbed. It'll be on tables. But we're having that after the morning service. So you haven't come in any hurry. You can't use an excuse today. I got to get in the cafeteria line before all the Methodists and Presbyterians get there. So just sit back and relax. We're going to have a little extra time, perhaps. But this is 64 years. There will never be another 64th anniversary of Worth Baptist Church. You will never be seated as you're seated this morning. Some of you will never be back in this place again. I hope you'll make the most of it while you're here. Well, you already know what one of my most favorite Beatitudes is. Blessed is a preacher that can get airborne without using too much runway. Well, the engines are all revved up. Looks like to me that the runway is clear. Let's get airborne. What do you say? Amen. Open your Bible. By the way, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of Acts, chapter number 5. as you're finding your place in the fifth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm glad it's settled here on earth in this wonderful book that we call the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful, and precious, and perfect, and pure, and pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language, in the King James Version. I'm going to read from this blessed book. Acts chapter 5, two verses, verses 38 and 39, and I shall read after we pray. Our Father, we are grateful for this wonderful celebration. 64 years of preaching of the gospel, singing of the gospel, praying about the gospel, witnessing to the gospel, sharing the gospel, and the worship services, the music, the messages that have gone forth. Who can tell, who can total, who can ever calculate the good that's been done in these 64 years? Help us to see today that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the same God that met with a group 64 years ago. You're still here today. You've not changed. Your love is just as wonderful. Your grace is just as good. And your mercy just as kind as it ever was. Now, for those that may be here without the Savior today, may they understand that this service is designed to bring them to Christ. Though we have some side notes, some things that we need to be reminded of, the ultimate aim is to bring men to Christ. Amen. And may it be so is our prayer. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen. Amen. Acts chapter 5, verse number 38. Before I read the verses, let me remind you of what went right before it. The chief captains and the priests were ready to put to death the apostles. Actually, they were trying to decide what to do about them. I'm sure there have been people in this community that have been trying to decide what to do about this church for 64 years, but here we are. They said, we're going to kill them. But one of their own, a man by the name of Gamaliel, who had a good reputation among the people, stood up and said, wait just a moment, men. Be careful what you do to these men. Leave them alone. Look at verse 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it shall come to naught. But please watch these next five words. If it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've been dwelling in this house for a long time, but this is just a foretaste, ladies and gentlemen, of the house that Jesus is going to prepare for us. Today is a day of rejoicing. It's a day of reviewing, a day of renewal. Worth Baptist Church has had four pastors. By the way, I was with a family last week, and the man said to me, we were members of the same church for 5 years, and we had four pastors during that 5 years. By the way, did you know the average tenure universally for a pastor is 18 months? Wow. Four pastors, 64 years. As a pastor has already alluded, my brother Bob, God bless his memory today, and thank God for his courage to step out and to organize. He went home to be with the Lord just 3 weeks ago. From my home in Burleson, I was privileged to talk to him in his home in Danville, Virginia, on Saturday morning before he went to be with the Lord on Saturday afternoon. We're building, still building, on the foundation that Bob laid 64 years ago. And then I came along, and for 35 years I pastored the church. Following me, Dr. Willie Weaver for 19 years. And now our wonderful and dear pastor, Tyler Gillett, going into his third year. Hasn't God been good to this church? It's been my privilege, all told, to serve this church for 58 of its 64 years. I cannot tell you how happy I am today to see the growth, the development, the enlargement. I want you to look at my text again. If it be of God, why don't you underscore those five words? If it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. I've entitled the message, If It Be of God. I ask you, who can deny that this church is of God? In the month of March 1954, a group of people led by my brother Bob met in a storefront building, a rented building, on Wichita Street to organize an independent Baptist church. In that rented storefront building, they found themselves almost penniless, but not powerless. For you see, they gathered in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, in my name, that's the key, folks, in my name, I will be in the midst. Powerful name, precious name, perfect name, pure name, pontifical name, all-prevailing name, the name that is above every name, at whose name every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. They were few in number that day, but they were militant in spirit. In the power of the Holy Spirit, they organized Worth Baptist Church. Now, 64 years later, the church has thousands of members, with properties valued in excess of multiple millions of dollars. By the way, the church started without any financial backing of an ecclesiastical organization or a financial institution or religious association. None of that ensured the success. But God. But God. Look around and see what God has done in 64 years. During the first year, the average attendance was about 50 per week. This last year, it was almost 700 per week. Of the operation, the budget was $10,000. Last year, the income was over $2 million. Don't we serve a great God? But God. First year, only a small sum of money was given to missions. In 2017, over $500,000 invested in missions around the world. Remember, if it be of God, this church has weathered storms from within and from without for almost two-thirds of a century. 64 years in business for God. Did you know that 90% of all modern medicines have come into existence in the last 64 years? Just think about it. Did you know that man has put his foot on the moon, sent rockets to Mars, and telescoped distant planets in the last 64 years? Although it is only a few miles geographically from that storefront building on Wichita Street, it's a long way to this magnificent edifice in which we're seated today. Many souls have been saved here. Many lives have been changed. Many broken hearts have been mended. Many homes have been salvaged. The gospel has been preached in this place. If it be of God. By the way, it's not stylish music and clever sermons that bring men to repentance. No, no, no. It's spiritual songs, powerful, spirit-anointed, Bible-based preaching that reach the hearts of men and bring them to Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's all about at Worth Baptist Church. Always has been. As long as we fellows around here, it always will be that. Bringing men to Christ. Our dear church, which was begun 64 years ago, I must tell you, and you know this, is a vital part of the church that Jesus began 2,000 years ago when he said, upon this rock, speaking of himself, I will build my church. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the church is prominent in God's economy. In fact, it's number one. It's the body of his son. And hear me when I say it. It's not number one because it's perfect. There's nobody here perfect. Well, just about, Johnson. Nobody here is perfect. My daddy used to say, if you ever find a perfect church, don't you join it. You'll ruin it the minute you get in it. Not perfect, but we have a perfect Savior. When Jesus died, he died for the church. When Jesus commissioned to evangelize the world, he commissioned the church. When Jesus wrote letters in Revelation 2 and 3, he wrote them to the church. Stay tuned. The best news I can give you now is when Jesus comes again, he's coming for the church. I give you his word on it. Would you take his word? I'm going to quote Jesus. Do you believe that? I love to quote Jesus. In John 14, 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, or in as much as I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Somebody said, well, where's heaven? Tis heaven to me wherever I be if Jesus is there. He's coming, ladies and gentlemen, and I believe he's coming soon. He gives us an admonition in Matthew 24:44. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. G. Campbell Morgan, who crossed the Atlantic 54 times, taking the gospel back and forth to two worlds, said this, I never lay my head on the pillow at night without thinking that before morning dawn, the final morning may have dawned. He's coming. Like a mighty army moves Worth Baptist Church. And like a mighty army, we'll win the victory. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. In the new Jerusalem, we shall wear a crown. We shall bow before him. We shall cast our crowns at his feet. We shall join the heavenly chorus as they sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. If it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Who can deny that this Bible is of God? Every day, thousands of books are added to libraries all over the world, but none of them can match wits with this book. Not Shakespeare or Milton or Bryan or Shelley or Keats or Longfellow or any other fella. Not Socrates, not Aristotle, not Plato. This book is in a class by itself. This is the book of God that contains the gospel of God, and the gospel is still the greatest power, the greatest attraction, and has the greatest appeal that the church will ever need. Greater than all the films, all the dramas, all the skits, all the plays, all the music bands. Greater than everything. Acts 19:20 says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. We have no text but God's word. That's the King James Version. Harriet Truman said, I always read the King James Version. It's the best there ever was or ever will be. You get a bunch of, I'm still quoting him. You get a bunch of college professors monkeying around with it, and all they do is take the poetry out of it. Thank God for the King James Version. The Bible that our mothers read, and our fathers read, and our forefathers read. Our country was established by it. This church was established with it. We are rooted and grounded in this word. John Greenleaf Whittier said, we search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful from graven stone and written scroll and all old flower fields of the soul. And weary seekers of the best, we come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read. What a wonderful book. It's the only source of our faith. It's the final authority for our rule and practice. If it be of God, a long time ago, some of you will remember, a telephone company used to advertise, anybody who is anybody is in the Yellow Pages. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is our Yellow Pages. It tells us who. It tells us what. It tells us where. It tells us when. It tells us how. It tells us why. By the way, it's the only book on earth that God has unreservedly, unhesitatingly, unequivocally committed himself to honor, to uphold, to defend, and preserve. It's his word, inspired by the Holy Spirit, not just in spots. We don't believe in that Dalmatian theory. We believe it's all inspired. All is God-breathed. Well, you may ask, well, what will it do for me? Well, I'm glad you ask. I'm going to answer. And here's the answer. It will discipline your life. It will develop your character. It will dispel your fears. It will direct your path. It will deepen your understanding. It will define your destiny. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this book has sailed every ocean. It has climbed every mountain. It has crossed every desert. It has transformed more lives. It has tranquilized more minds. It has stabilized more souls and healed more hearts than all the books all over the world combined. And it's still the bestseller. Some books inform, some books reform. Only the Bible can transform. If it be of God, let the skeptics doubt it. Let the critics assail it. Let the atheists deny it. Let the agnostics disdain it. Let the liberals distort it. Let the perverts pervert it. It is still the word of the living God. Amen. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Who can deny that Jesus Christ is of God? Ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus is not the Son of God, the Bible is a fictitious book. Your salvation is a farce. Hell is a myth. Heaven is a fantasy. Christianity is a mockery. And you're still in your sins. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. The thing that God could say about him, "This is my Son, hear ye him," is because he was raised from the dead. He proved that what he did on the cross was sufficient for our sins when he was raised from the dead. And I'm happy to report to you there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of Christ, the blood of the Lamb, the blood that stained the old rugged cross. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the vilest clean. His blood availed for me. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Listen to his own testimony. He said, "I and my Father are one." He said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." He said, "I am come to do the will of him that sent me." John wrote about him in his first chapter. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Paul gave a testimony about him in Hebrews chapter 1. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, after he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." You know what? Jesus never wrote a book, yet more books have been written about him than any other person in human history. Jesus never built a temple, but more temples, more churches, more schools, more orphanages, more hospitals have been built in his name than any other name on earth. George Truett, the famous pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, said, "Jesus was born a Jew, yet he belongs to all races. He was born in the first century, yet he belongs to every century. He was born in Bethlehem, yet he belongs to every country." Wow, I wish I'd have said that. Isn't that good? Did you know that the Encyclopedia Britannica used 20,000 words to cover the life and ministry of Jesus Christ? By the way, that's more than they used for Cicero, Aristotle, Alexander the Great, Napoleon, Confucius, and Julius Caesar combined. What a wonderful Savior. Even the world acknowledges who he is. 20,000 words. More than all those others. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I must tell you, no one but Jesus can answer the deep, dark, disturbing questions of life. Questions that the scientists cannot answer. The philosophers cannot answer. The educators cannot answer. The fortune tellers cannot answer. The magicians cannot answer. The religionists cannot answer. In fact, he is himself the answer. I say to Jesus, "Dear Jesus, my heart is hungry." He answers, "I am the bread of life." I say to Jesus, "Dear Jesus, my soul is thirsty." He says, "I am the water of life." I say to Jesus, "Dear Jesus, I'm tired and weary." He answers, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I say to Jesus, dear Jesus, I'm lost and you cannot find the way. He answers, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I say to Jesus, dear Jesus, I'm afraid of death and dying. He answers, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never, 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 never die. If it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it is of God. And the greatest proof I have is what happened to me almost 75 years ago when I was just 11 years old, when Jesus came into my heart and saved my soul, forgave my sins, justified me, pardoned me, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and guaranteed me a home in heaven. Well, you ask, but preacher, how can you say that so boldly? Well, I was there when it happened, and I ought to know. It's real. It's real. Salvation is real. All the doubts are settled. Praise God, I know, I know, I know it's real. I should remind you, salvation doesn't take place on paper or in a test tube or science lab or a literary society or religious convocation. Salvation takes place in the heart, your heart. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is a word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Please don't miss this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I'm glad you don't have to go to Jerusalem or Rome or Mecca or Medina, right where you are. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, by the way, I need to tell you, I believe this service is of God. I believe your being here is of God. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine assignment. And hear me when I say it. God has a free gift for you. Did you hear me? God has a free gift for you. And that gift is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said. And I'm going to close by quoting Jesus. I don't know of anybody better I could quote. In John 3:16, the Bible in miniature, just 25 words written in red. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Only believe, and the work is done. Would you stand, please, with your heads bowed? What a wonderful day to be saved. They sang a while ago about a wonderful day for Christ to come, but I hope you'll get saved before he does, because if you don't, you're gone. Are you here today, heads are bowed? We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to put you on the spot. We're not going to ask you to make a speech. We're not going to ask you to do anything that you don't believe you ought to do. But if you would just say in your own heart and signify it by a lifted hand, if I died today, I do not know. I do not have the assurance that I would go to heaven. While every head's bowed, if you're here like that this morning and you'd be honest enough to say, I'm not really sure, pray for me, preacher. I want to know that when I die, or when Jesus comes, I'll be saved. I'll be ready. Would you put your hand up? God bless you back there. God bless you, sir. God bless you over here. You may put them down. Anyone else over here, anywhere? May God bless you today. How many would say, but now, preacher, I know that I'm saved. But you know, preacher, my life just isn't what it ought to be. My dedication to Christ is not what it should be. And I want to slip up a little closer to Jesus today. Preacher, you've told us about who he is and what he does, and I know all of that, but I want to just be a little closer to him. I want to ask you to pray for me that I'd make the right commitment in my life to Jesus today. Would you put your hand up? All over the house. Put them up real high. Thank you. 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 You may put them down. Many of you lifted your hand. Now I want to ask you one more question while every head's bowed. Some of you are looking for a church home. Would you believe I'd recommend Worth Baptist Church? I will wholeheartedly, unreservedly, unequivocally recommend this for your church home. I wonder who might say by the lifted hand, preacher, I'm praying about this matter of my church affiliation, my church membership, and I would appreciate if you'd pray with me on it. Would you put your hand up, something like that today? Anyone, anywhere? God bless you. God bless you and you. God bless you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Now I'm going to pray. Brother Johnson's going to lead the invitation appeal in the hymn. You don't have to wait. The altar's open. Invitation has begun. Step out of your seat right now. If you lifted your hand, you really meant business for God. Just step out of your seat. If you didn't lift your hand, Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. Father, I pray that you'd bless those who admitted openly that they need help today. May they come and find it around an altar prayer. Please, dear God, move in the hearts of people here, the unsaved, those that lifted their hands and said, I'm not saved. May they come now to trust the Savior. That multitude of people who said, I want a closer walk with Jesus. May they step out of their seats and come today. Those who need to join the church, who lifted their hands and admitted, would you speak to them? In Jesus' name I pray. As we sing, while heads are bowed, Holy Spirit speaks. Invitation is open for you.